HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Elizabeth Taylor, The Grit and Glamour of an Icon by Kate Anderson Brower, read by Eleanor Caudill. A note before we begin. For a list of Elizabeth's films and family, notes on the text, and more, don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to harpercollins.com/pages/Elizabeth Taylor. For Senator John Warner, who wanted this story to be told, and for Charlotte, my very own fierce and exuberant girl. Prologue. There are no coincidences, and nothing happens without a reason. I will find it. Letter from Elizabeth Taylor to Richard Burton. Rome, 1987. The most photographed movie star in the world stood alone on the terrace of the Villa Papa, a 10,000-square-foot Roman mansion at 448 Via Appia Pignatelli. The early afternoon light lit up her raven hair and those legendary blue eyes that some swore were actually an otherworldly shade of violet, peered out onto the villa's 8 acres, with its lush gardens, crystal-clear pool, and tennis court. Elizabeth knew the house's current occupant, the celebrated director Franco Zeffirelli, very well. This was the home where she had lived during the filming of the 1963 epic, Cleopatra, where she began her passionate, all-consuming romance with her co-star Richard Burton. At that moment, as she leaned over the balcony railing, she wished she could be standing anywhere else in the world, but something kept her there. Her friend Aprile Milo, an opera singer who was in Rome with Elizabeth helping her prepare for her role in Zeffirelli's latest film, assumed that Elizabeth was reveling in technicolor memories of Richard Burton, the man she had married twice. Richard had died 3 years earlier, and even though they had divorced long before his death, the two talked almost every day on the phone. Elizabeth walked through the primary suite and out onto the terrace. She turned back toward Milo and asked, "Can you give me a second, please?" After a few minutes, she walked back inside and seemed lost in her thoughts. Milo did not realize that this was also the home Elizabeth had shared with the singer Eddie Fisher, whom she was married to before Richard, and the place where she and Richard had been hounded by the press at a time when much of the world viewed her as a homewrecker. The house represented a time in her life before the darkness gave way to the light. In the 1960s, Elizabeth and Richard had practically invented the paparazzi, the term for the aggressive Roman freelance photographers who became famous in Federico Fellini's La Dolce Vita. Everyone knew the story. Elizabeth stole Eddie Fisher away from his wife, the actress Debbie Reynolds, and then she set her sights on Richard, whom she stole from his wife, Sybil Burton. Of course, it was not quite as simple as that. Images flashed through Elizabeth's mind of being trapped inside the villa and hearing the photographers' ladders hitting its outside walls as they tried to get a photo of her through a window. She thought of the day when a photographer knocked on the front door pretending to be a priest, or another time when a photographer posed as a plumber. There were death threats against her children. One paparazzo punched her in the stomach to try to get a reaction and a higher price for the photograph. Nothing, it seemed, was sacred. One of their dogs was even stolen, and later returned. Eventually, plainclothes officers guarded the villa whenever she was there, and uniformed police officers walked the grounds as though she were living in a fortress. And no one, it seemed, was deserving of trust without proving themselves first. A publicist on Cleopatra used to wear her hair in an elaborate updo until it was discovered that she was hiding a small camera in her chignon when she visited the set. Before the police got involved, one of Elizabeth's assistants had opened the front door and slammed it shut as soon as they saw a camera lens trained on them. Determined, the photographer on the other side tried to break the door down, and several people inside the house had to throw their backs against it to keep it shut. Memories of her children using rakes and water hoses to chase the paparazzi out of their garden came rushing back as she stood inside the house for the first time in 2 decades. Back then, she and Richard had tried to turn it into a fun game of cops and robbers so they could mask the reality that they were actually being hunted.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?